You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome in, friends, to the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Week 17 ranks. It's championship time for the normal people. The others are still fighting for it, Jake. And it is Jake Seeley with me on Twitter at AllInKid. I am the Welsh on Twitter at Is It The Welsh? It's just us. It's just the two best friends that anyone ever had. And we're going to be talking about all your Week 17 stuff. And we have officially benched Brandon Funston like the Raiders have benched Derek Carr. Except he's not going to go home. He will be back. Brandon's not inactive. He's just not here today. He'll be back on the Monday episode. And that is the biggest piece of news. Probably, I mean, there's a couple big pieces, but the biggest shocking one is the Raiders turn on Derek Carr for Jared Stidham. Josh McDaniel really, really testing the boundaries of what cash poor means to firing a head coach. And this is going to most likely signal the end of Derek Carr, puts questions into Devontae Adams, and all of this while they play the San Francisco 49ers this week. So, Jake, I have not seen or had a chance to hear any of your takes on it, but Derek Carr out, Jared Stidham in. What do you make of all this mess?
What do you mean? For fantasy purposes or real life purposes? There's two totally different questions.
All the above. I think all the above Look, qualify.
I have been long known. I think anybody who's listened to me over the years knows how I feel. Not necessarily about Derek Carr, but any situation like Derek Carr. I don't blame the Raiders. I've always been the one that sits here and says I'd rather go for a quarterback in the draft that could potentially be top five, at worst top 10, miss, do it again in 3 years, miss, do it again in 3 years until I find it. Like what the Jets are doing right now, it sucks. Like Zach Wilson stinks, but I'd rather do that than to tie myself, and the example I used to give for the longest time was Andy Dalton with the Bengals, is I'd rather do that than tie myself to you're basically league average. It's kind of, you get caught in this, like if you were grading on a 1 to 10 scale, your quarterback is a 5.5. So it's like, there's an equal chance of getting better, and there's an equal chance of getting worse, and teams get scared, and they're like, well, we'll just figure out how to win with blank.
Digging their heels in on
not even digging, it's just they become complacent. It's like, we can win if we build the right team, or Trent Dilfer's Ravens. Like, you can win with a quarterback who doesn't lose it for you. I'd rather have a quarterback who could win it for me. That's what the difference is, and then you can build the better talent around him and make it even better. Like, Jalen Hurts has become one of those. Well, if we either even see him, but the Josh Allen, the Patrick Mahomes, we could go down the list. But so I understand it. And I think this was a long time coming for the Raiders. I think there was a lot of discussion that they should just tank this season to potentially get younger Stroud. And now that kind of looks iffy. There's talks whether that they're going to trade him or just cut him outright. And what it came down to is Vic Taffer for us and Sean Reed both actually tweeted this out yesterday. It's a budget thing, because if he got hurt, His contract was guaranteed.
In the $43 million, I believe it was. I think it was around four. Well, it was around $40 million.
Well, it was with the year after. It was just year. It was like 33. So his contract becomes guaranteed, and that's the biggest thing. Is they're also going to look probably to trade him. We'll see if they get any takers. Hey, Jets, there you go.
It was just a bad look. The bad look was if they just even had like a 49ers situation where there was like a Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy type of quarterback they had drafted to put in, or there's a guy that had, you know, maybe been grooming to get into that spot, but it wasn't. It's just like a really bad quarterback that all this said to everybody. Public perception is the worst on this. You can't even like chalk it up as like, hey, we just want to see what we have. It's like, no, you're gone. We don't like you. You're inactive. And we don't like you so much. We're going to go with a far, far worse quarterback in Jared Stidham. And we're also going to go, I mean, Caleb, whatever, is the backup. It was just a bad look. And it kind of trickles down to Devontae Adams. You know, I mean, I was saying on ITL, Jake, I think they should trade Devontae Adams back to the Packers for Jordan Love. I think there should be some trade like that. If Aaron Rodgers wants to stick around, Jordan Love wants out, and just make a move like that. But it stinks all around for the Raiders from a real life perspective. And then it now is going to affect too. Yeah, and it affects our fantasy this week. And like, I think Adams is the most difficult one because he's just so good. I mean, it could be not difficult and you just say, screw it. He's one of the best wide receivers in the league. You're throwing him out here. Niner secondary isn't that great. It's championship week. But like, do you trust it? I'm like, I assume Hunter Renfrow is going to get, you know, peppered with targets because he's just going to be a, you know, a five yard out type of guy. But are you second guessing Devonta Adams this week at all?
No, you can't. I mean,
quarterback proof.
No. No. I mean, because what Jarrett said, I think why you say pepper is because what did he throw 5 yards downfield per time, per attempt for Jarrett Stidham? Yeah, so exactly. I think that, you know, we got a very small sample. I mean, the guy's got, what, 60, 70 attempts to his career? So I'm not saying, oh, like, oh, there might be something here with Stidham. But you can't bench Adams. It really comes down to, like, look at Colt McCoy. He was able to keep DeAndre Hopkins afloat, and even with how bad it went for Trace McSorley and Adams, I'd be like, Hopkins had what, 10 targets last week? Like, caught nothing, nearly.
Like two, yeah. Two for 15, I think it was.
But here's the thing, is like, you know, if he connects on half of those, he's Hopkins. And I get it. Look, if I just can't, it's the same answer I'm going to give for that I gave people for Josh Jacobs. I moved Josh Jacobs down from about 7 or 8 to like a fringe RB1. The volume is going to help offset this. I actually said to Meany on my show yesterday, I said, what's the difference between Josh Jacobs and Najee Harris now? Like, there's no difference. It's the volume that we're hoping for. So the question I have is, do you bench Jacobs for blank? Do you bench Adams for blank? If the blank is somebody that you're like, hey, they're top 20, you can make that argument, go right ahead. If it comes down to, is it further down the list than that? Then it comes down to, what can you stomach? Are you going to be happy if your replacement scores 8 and you watch Adams or Jacobs score 18 on your bench? Are you going to be able to live with yourself with that, and then you lose the championship because of that? If you can live with it, then go with what your gut says. Your gut may be right. Last week, the right play was to outright bench Hopkins, not put Hopkins as a wide receiver 2, which I had him as like a low-end wide receiver 2. It was, he's irrelevant. Bench him. But can you stomach it? And that's what it comes down to. Like, I still start Jacobs. I still start Adams. Probably still starting Waller because the tight ends are tight ends. And actually, this might be good, as you mentioned, just keep everything short. I'm not even going to, as you said, Pepper, Renfrow. I'm not touching Renfrow. I'm not touching Mac Hollins for the 49ers. I mean, honestly, they might just win this game 30-0. I mean, there's a good chance that Stidham does nothing on this game.
Yeah, I mean, they're all, it's the worst defense you could possibly go up against. The nickel coverage for the 49ers is not great. Overall, isn't great. So I think Hunter Renfrow is kind of sneaky, but like, two important facts that you put in here. Number one is being able to stomach it. I know people, I feel like people don't want to hear that sometimes, but it's like such a true fantasy thing. You have to be able to come to terms with like, what are you willing to lose or win with? And, you know, having Devonta Adams on your bench would be a killer. So I don't know how many questions you're getting like that on your ranks article, but at the end of the day, like, I wouldn't be able to stomach it. I'd probably take that shot. Here's the other thing. Probably not a lot of championships with Devonta Adams still there. Devonta Adams completely screwed you in the semifinals, so you're probably not playing in a finals that has Devonta Adams unless you were picked up by other players. So that's maybe going to be a benefit as well, that you're not going to be out there with him. So tread lightly. You guys also can go over to The Athletic. You can sign up if you're not already, and you can get Jake's article with all his ranks for Week 17. Make sure you're doing so. And you can ask those questions. I mean, Jake, you pretty much answer them all the way up until you like cut off when you're going to start answering the questions on the article.
Yeah. Yeah. 12:59 p.m. on Sundays. So there you go.
Bam. See, right there. So you guys could sign up if you're not already, or you can get in there, ask your questions. If you don't, if you've been shy about it, don't be shy. Jake most likely will not bite your head off, and you can ask a question unless you literally go.
There's a few. There was somebody who asked about kickers.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did. There was two. Somebody was like, because of something, can you tell me, can you rank these 4 kickers? I just replied back with no.
They have to be trolling you. They just have to be trying to get the reaction. There's no way. Though, you know, I say that, and it is amazing how people will not understand the personalities of the podcasters or the writers sometimes, and they'll just come in just to ask a question. That is, you can't ask Jake that. You just can't ask the question. It's just
I'm trying to think of what the other one was. There was another one. Let's see if I can find it. There was something that asked about kickers, and then I said, "You're basically, for all intents and purposes, was the response was, oh, here it was. There's something wrong here. There are no rankings for kickers. What's up with that?" And I said, "There's something wrong with you if you ever think I would rank them."
I like the guy in any of the rank contests. I really could appreciate a guy that like kickers is their thing. Like I want to find like a kicker specialist in fantasy. They're like, well, you know, I want to get wide receivers and quarterbacks right, but like kickers, that's my thing. I gotta get
if,
in there.
If I ever did rank kickers, it would just be like, here's my season rankings, and they're the exact same thing every single week, and you probably finish as the best kicker.
You know what would be great, though? I would love if you ranked kickers, but no one could see it. But no one could see it. And then at the end of the year, if you were like the number one kicker ranker in all of the land, but you won't release it. No one can actually see it. I think that would be fun. If we could just every week see your rank of the kicker. That would be a fun game to do.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
There's some other fantasy implications out there. This is another one. I saw some people tweeting this of, championship teams that were going in with Devontae Adams and Derrick Henry this week were feeling really good until the week happened, because Derrick Henry is now expected to not play. That is definitely a player that's going to be on some championship teams this week, and that is a pretty brutal blow that feels like it came a week early, Jake. There's also some rumors about Austin Eckler kind of banged up, and he was doing some interview. He did an interview with Matt Harmon and on their show, and Harmon was kind of asking him about, like, hey, you know, do you want to play all the weeks? And Eckler kind of gave that answer where he was like, yeah, I want to play all the weeks, but we got to let the coaches kind of decide. And that's just one of those things where, you know, he's going to placate it for the fans and stuff and the fantasy people, but he's already thinking we're not going to play. So there's a little bit of question on Eckler. I don't think it's as serious as Derrick Henry, but Derrick Henry out is going to be a pretty brutal blow. Is there going to be anything for you for Hassan Haskins instead? Would you be willing to pivot?
No. I tweeted this out. I put it in the ranks. I have him as a low end RB3. I'm not going there. This offense with Malik Willis, I have hopes. People know this. I'm not going to back off the fact that I have hopes for Malik Willis as an NFL quarterback and for his future, who could be very much like Justin Fields, 200 yards, one or two touchdowns, and a lot in the rushing game. Fantasy purposes, that great. Passing game, you're never going to be like lighting up the box score on the passing side of things, even with Justin Fields doing well. It's like hit or miss games when that actually happens. But all that being said, is right now that's not happening. They're not even opening up the playbook, similar to the Bears with, you know, back we were talking about. They never opened up the playbook under Nagy, and that's really what it comes down to. So it's like, what, throwing 100 yards? That's a stilted offense, and, you know, Derrick Henry can do Derrick Henry things no matter what, and that's because he's Derrick Henry. Haskins, similar build, a little bit smaller. Actually, in the draft process, I called him discount Derrick Henry. So, I mean, like that's because he is, because it's not going to be quite as game-breaking as he will be. But I even mentioned I'd play the back half of timeshares. I would play A.J. Dillon. I would play Jamal Williams. I would play I'm trying to think. I was going to say Zeke, but now it sounds like Tony Pollard might not play tonight.
What about Chuba?
That's where I could see. I actually, right as of now, my projections, I start working on those today. I'm still in the middle of those. Those will come out afterwards. We should, everybody can check the link. So there you go. So you might have already seen them, depending on when you're listening to this. That being said, as of the first run through the ranks, it's Foreman, Haskins, Hubbard. Hubbard feels the safest. Foreman's the boomer bust play. If you wanted to avoid it altogether, it's safe. But, you know, it sounds like they want to give Haskins a look. But what if they use Chestnut in the passing game to get him out? What if it's a 50-50 split? And 50-50 split in this offense against the Cowboys? No, like, really? So do you really going to put your championship hopes on Haskins? Like, you got it. Like, there's no way you're in a championship game and you're starting Haskins. Like, I can't imagine what scenario, what world you're living in that you're in the championship and have to turn to Haskins anyway. So my answer is, you were starting him, is what I said, the very first thing I said in my mouth. No, because I didn't make it.
please somebody tweet at both of us, All In Kid and Is It The
Welsh.
If
you have to start Haskins.
If you have to start Haskins, please. We got to see the roster, too. You got to do a screenshot of the roster. Make sure that there's no kicker in the active slot.
Henry, Antonio Gibson, and Tony Pollard, who all three of them are going to be out? That's how you have to start Haskins?
Going to be Well, no. I mean, if you had let's say you had CMC, Derrick Henry, and you just have really great wide receiver depth, and you got wide receiver at the slot, and you just don't have running back depth, and you're losing Henry, maybe that's the scenario, that you just don't have a great option. You literally have Chuba
James
or
Cook.
Him. Yeah, James Cook. Yeah, maybe you just sold off right at the end and you've got awesome wide receivers, but your running back depth is just poop. Then that might be the scenario. So I'd be very curious at what it is. You also mentioned Tony Pollard, doubtful for, depending when you're listening to this, does it not going to matter or not, for Thursday Night Football, which is a huge blow unless you have Ezekiel Elliott. And the other one that's floating out there is Tua. Tua Tagovailoa was not at team meetings on Thursday. Yeah, and with the concussion stuff. They already announced that Teddy Bridgewater is in line to start. That's not a definitive, but there's a lot of, I think, all eyes on concussion stuff are on Tua so far this year after the crinkling fingers and all the bad stuff. So he doesn't go. You say he's not going to go. There's just no down. What down tick can you do for Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill? They're as good as good can be, and kind of quarterback.
This isn't Jarrett Stidham. We're not dropping.
Yeah,
you can drop him a few spots, but you're still starting both of them.
Is there anything on the run game with either of Raheem or Jeff Wilson for you in that game with Teddy Bridgewater in there? I don't know if you think they maybe try to slow the pace down. They try to run a little bit more. I think they had 17 carries between Mostert and Jeff Wilson last week. So they're going to kind of monopolize each other.
Yeah, it was a 60-40 in Wilson's favor. If I had to start one of the two, it'd still be Wilson. But that's something that I'm not going to try to overthink this one. I would just go Wilson. You might have to start both of them, not on the same team, but depending out there, you might just have to start Mostert. I'd start Mostert over Haskins, probably. Honestly, yeah, I just would. I guess.
Yeah, really? Oh, you go Mostert over Haskins?
unless you just want, if you somehow got to the finals and maybe you lost multiple people over the past couple weeks and you're just limping in there and you just need a home run play. Okay. Home run play Haskins. That's the, but if I just need points, if I have a good team, I just still start Mostert.
It's interesting that you went on Jeffrey Wilson too, because he was one of my picks on the ITL pod. And since week four, every game that he has had 10 plus carries, he scored a touchdown in. So we just got to get to those 10 carries and he's going to put a touchdown in, whether it was for the 49ers or for the Dolphins on that. Last week, he only had 9 carries and he had a touchdown as well. So he's definitely a good option against, it's a good Patriots team, but they've kind of tapered off a little bit as far as the run defense goes on the back half of the year. So those are some of the news and notes to chew on coming into this final championship week. We've got some ranks for you. We've got our ranks now. Since there's no Brandon Funson, I will give you some of my plays of the week. So let's start with quarterback, Jake, and let's start with you. Week 17 quarterback you like more than anyone else. It's going to get ugly. Are people going to need to make ugly decisions? Hopefully not, but there's a couple out there. So who do you like more than anyone else?
Brock Purdy. I actually have him as my last QB1 of the week. He's facing the Raiders defense. This is even before the Stidham situation. That doesn't really move too much to the needle for me, but I would start Brock Purdy over the vets, the Brady and the Rodgers at this point. I start him over those guys. And the interesting thing is, you look at explosive plays for the 49ers. It's almost identical to when Jimmy Garoppolo was at quarterback. And Brock Purdy's just been out there and continue to let this offense roll. I'm sure part of that has to do with the addition of Christian McCaffrey just helping this team even more. But that goes to Brock Purdy getting the ball in the passing game when the 49ers don't inexplicably start stifling touches off to Jordan Mason and Tyrion Davis Price. But all that being said, I think Brock Purdy would be in my lineup. Oh, look how excited Barkley is over that.
Oh, Bark Purdy. It's Bark yeah. Purdy.
So with the McCaffrey addition, and that helps Brock Purdy. But again, over Brady, over Rodgers. I know people are excited for Mike White. I can see Mike White in the same conversation. Actually, this tier of Purdy, Rodgers, White, I think they're all ahead of Geno right now with how he's been playing lately. So I would start Purdy, as a fringe QB1.
Yeah, I actually really like this one. This is, I do not mean to keep referencing it, but Bogman had this exact same play. He had Brock Purdy and he had beat me to the list. And I thought about putting him on here. The only thing I hold on to, and I hate to say it because I kind of hope McCaffrey doesn't go off, even though my team 49ers because I'm playing against him this week in a championship. But beside that point is this Raider team is going to be in such a bad spot. that I do think the 49ers are going to score a bunch of points and they're going to put on. But I do have a feeling it's a lot going to come from the ground. Brock Purdy has been finding George Kittle, though. Brandon Ayuk is starting to get those upticks. I think three straight weeks, his reception target marker has continuously gone up. So there's definitely big play in there. I just wonder if you're going to have, you know, defensive touchdown, you're going to have two rushing touchdowns, maybe one passing, and then it's kind of over. But I love the Brock Purdy play. And I went with one of the guys that you just kind of mentioned, and I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. And I'm actually in a decision-making spot in my championship where I have to decide between Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins on who to start, and they're playing against each other. I'm going to go with Cousins, but I have Rodgers right in that same marker because this is just a good matchup. Since week 11, no team has given up more passing yards to quarterbacks on an average basis than the Minnesota Vikings, 317 over a touchdown and a half and over 40 pass attempts. Teams are passing on them. Where the rubber meets the road, Aaron Rodgers has not thrown for 300 yards this year. That's kind of a problem. I see this as a big running back receiving game that's going to go on. Minnesota also is giving up a decent amount of receiving yards. I think it's over 40 or whatever it is in the top 10 as far as defenses go on receiving yards to running backs. This is an Aaron Jones spot again. I think this is an A.J. Dillon spot. I think both are going to score touchdowns in this. Rodgers is looking to be efficient, though he hasn't scored or thrown two touchdowns over the last three games. You're going to rectify that against this. This is going to be a back and forth matchup of both these teams passing. Minnesota's also started off kind of slow, and their defense is let up, and then they come back and they start, you know, slinging the ball in the second half, which is why my hopes are on Kirk Cousins. But I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers in this one, right at the fringe of like quarterback 11, quarterback 12, in that same spot that you have Brock Purdy. Did you have Aaron Rodgers at 13 right after Purdy?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so we're right, you know, in the same
it comes down to, you know, the only single-digit game that Rodgers has was week one against the Vikings. Granted, yeah, it was week one. That's a long time ago now at this point. I just find that funny. His worst game this year was against the Vikings. He's the only one that I don't think he threw a touchdown.
It's probably the least yards that have been, or the least fantasy points that have been given up by Minnesota the entire year, how things have changed. And I don't know, he's centered in himself. If Watson's not there, that is kind of a brutal blow. But that's also why I think he's going to get back to simplifying.
The next lowest was Matt Ryan and Andy Dalton.
Well, he was the lowest?
Yeah, he's the lowest. He's the only one that hasn't even reached. If you actually play on NFL.com, he only scored 3.7 against them.
Oh, my God. That's brutal. All right, let's go talk about running backs. And we'll just start with you every single time here since I'm doing the hosting here. Week 17, running backs that you like more than anybody else, your start and your dart is what we do. So one start, one dart.
Let's go to Tyler Allgeier, who's this is part of the reason Meany and I were on him. I don't know. We were talking at the time, so you might have been on him too. But like, this was not that I thought he'd be RB8 over the last 2 weeks, but that Allgeier could lead this backfield. I drew the comparisons for everybody in their mind too, is like kind of a Tevin Coleman in a similar offense situation.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a couple weeks.
Yeah, that between the tackle, one cut, go, straight line runner. But it works, and this team continues to run, even with Desmond Ridder, which is part of what's, you know, led to some of the success and letting Ridder just look to Drake London and basically nobody else. But Allgeier could be a league winner. I think that I don't know how you, after the last 2 weeks, you don't just play Allgeier at this point. I got to throw out, this one's going to be obvious, or should be. I got to give a bonus one. It's the Brian Robinson. I've been saying this for a couple of days. And Antonio Gibson, again, no practice on Thursday. Just put Brian Robinson in your lineup. I mean, you're going to talk 20-plus touches in this matchup against Cleveland. Yep. Just please start Brian Robinson. Now watch him get 25 carries for 30 yards or something like that. But the dart I'll throw out is it's back to Zonovan Knight time. Although if you were relying on Zonovan Knight, it might be because you already had suffered injuries and you might not have gotten here given the past 2 weeks. But I tweeted this out early. A real quick difference, just so you know, the difference between Knight with Zach Wilson versus with Mike White. 5 yards a carry, 10 receptions for all targets, 10 targets, 10 receptions, 68 yards receiving in his games. 13.6 fantasy points per game with Mike White. With Zach Wilson, 19 for 21 on the ground, 1 for 15 receiving, 2.1 points per game the last 2 weeks. It just Zonovan Knight, get him back in there, a good matchup, which looks to be a fun game going against Seattle. And you run against Seattle, you know that. I think you can get Zonovan Knight back into this. Is what people had hoped, that he was going to be the savior for those 3 weeks, and now you can go back to him, I think.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. I like both of these picks. Zonovan might be more interesting just because he might be available out there. He might have been a guy during the playoffs that ended up getting cut. Yeah, exactly, that you could have picked up. My two, the start is not off the walls or anything. I just do think we should talk about him. And we laughed.
Just because you said that for like the last 6 weeks. I think we should talk about him. Brandon's like, no.
No, dude, we laughed so hard about it on Monday, me and Brandon did, because of his freak out on my Cam Akers stuff, where I'm like, no, you got to, even if it's not irrelevant, you got to talk about it. And boy, was it proven right. But also, he got Cam Akered. He got knocked out by Cam
Good.
Akers.
That's what,
last
That's what I guess. That's what he gets.
But we got to talk about Cam Akers. Cam Akers has been near the top over the last couple of weeks. He obviously, last week, he was the number one scoring running back, putting up all of the points and getting all of the run for what is a, you know, fair to say, a piss poor offense. But it's been him. 23 carries, 118 yards. He's averaged over 5 carries over the last 2 games. This was his first 20-yard carry game. He's also getting some receptions. He scored a touchdown in 3 of the last 4 games. And this is the guy. And it's against it's a pretty good matchup. It's a pretty good matchup this week. I think it's I'm completely blanking, but I think it's the Chargers. Yeah, okay. It's up against the Chargers who have
who's the home team?
It's the Chargers. It's the Chargers. I was just looking at it.
It is the Chargers, the Chargers, yeah. Honestly, there might be more legitimate Rams fans.
Well, yeah. I mean, this year, I think a lot of the bandwagoners have kind of fallen off because I can't root for any of, they don't even know how to.
LA associates with the Chargers. At least you have people associated with the Rams from years back. Like, at least there's some association.
Yeah, exactly. But Cam Akers, like I said, the Chargers have kind of honed in a little bit on their run defense. They haven't been as bad as they were over the last couple weeks, I believe. Like, a hone this in here to week 11 will give you. The Chargers they're actually top 10 in stopping the run, but it's about touchdowns because they're still giving up over 110 yards rushing per game since week 11. And that is in the top 10 most given up, but they're just not giving up touchdowns. 5.1 yards per carry, they're just not giving up touchdowns. But Cam Akers can make that happen. So what we talked about on Monday was just, hey, Cam Akers is like in the borderline top 15 of running backs this week. So that is my start. Yep. And my dart... No, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, yeah. I'm with you with Cam Akers.
Yeah, it's just... and
like, this is why I said draft him in the 4th and 5th round. This is what it all comes down to. You win championships.
You get to look at it at the end and you're going to be like, I wasn't wrong. I mean, technically, the middle of the pack didn't get you anywhere, but it could win you a championship.
If you're wrong 65% of the time, I think you're still wrong.
I think, 100%. This is that thing that happens with like rookies and stuff that I get very critical about, where people are like, and I'm not saying you at all, but like people will be like, oh, you got to do it. Just got to, no doubt. Even if there's a question, and then all of a sudden they won't be productive for 5 or 6 weeks. And then they start to be good. And it's like, well, I told you. And it's like, well, if you lost 6 weeks of no production and you did a high cost on him, that doesn't help you. Luckily, this year, rookies just didn't cost anything insanely high. This was one of the cheaper rookie years overall. My dart throw at running back, it's actually up against a stronger defense, but this is just about the uptick in production that he's had. And it's James Cook. James Cook, 99 yards last week on 11 carries, scored a touchdown. He's catching. He's getting targets. He's had double-digit targets in 4 of his last 5 games. Back in like early December and the end of November, he had 11 targets over 2 games. So he can get involved in the pass game. He's more and more involved in the rush game. Cincinnati is tough. Their defense, like since I think it was, I looked week 14, they're like the number one in stopping rush defense. But he's just a multifaceted guy that the team has made concerted efforts. I mean, they didn't do it against Miami and the Jets, really. But, you know, prior to that, it was like 14 carries with New England, 11 carries with Cleveland. He also had 6 targets in that New England game. Like, it looks like they're trying to get him around 15 touches per game. And I think this is a decent touchdown spot if Buffalo starts moving the ball. So I'm going to go with James Cook as one of my dart plays of the week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Let's move over to wide receivers. Same thing. Who are you starting, and where's your dart throw at wide receiver for week 17?
Yeah, I think the Packers situation is intriguing. You just mentioned it when you went to talk about Aaron Rodgers for your quarterback situation. So if you're going to be on Aaron Rodgers and should be on this passing game, the reason I brought this up, though, is because whether or not Christian Watson plays, I mean, you're playing Christian Watson. Christian Watson's the obvious one. It comes down to Lazard and Dobbs and what Dobbs did in his first game back, and then there's more Lazard last week. I would go Lazard slightly over Dobbs, but I think you could still play both of them, depending on your team and depending on what you're looking like this week, even if Watson's out there. And then what I wanted to say is that if there is no Watson, start them both. They're must-start territory for both of them going against the Vikings. The good thing about it is the Vikings are terrible against the pass. The one area they're middle of the road is slot receivers, but that's middle of the road. Like, I'm not saying like, avoid slot receivers versus the Vikings. Like, it's just, again, middle of the road. Well, guess what? It's not Lazard. It's not Dobbs. It's not Watt. That's Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb is going to be doing that. So, like, Randall Cobb's irrelevant. And then that just even makes it better for the outside receivers of Lazard and Lazard and Dobbs. So, my dart is only if there is no Chris Olave. And if there is no Chris Olave, not super excited for this, but we are doing darts. We are doing the fact that Rashid Shaheed, man, has been, like, 90% of the snaps, 90% of the routes, just out there running. Andy Dalton is junk, but he's taking shots to him at least once a game, twice a game. And if you look at Shaheed's efficiency, it's ridiculous because he makes big plays when he actually gets the ball. The problem is whether or not he gets the ball. And if you're talking about the Saints this week, the Saints heading to Philly. But hey, at least if you're playing catch-up probably as soon as the second quarter starts, then there's a good chance that you're going to get, even if Olave's out there, he might get 5 or 6 targets in this game. So I think if you're desperate, if you need a home run, if you're slipping your way in there by wide receiver and maybe you lost Christian Watson or whatever it might be, I think Rashid Shaheed could be that dart. I mean, this, we're talking darts. That's the whole point of why we're doing this. It's a dart throw.
Yeah, I really like this one, too. This is if you're in that desperate situation. And it shouldn't be forgot because, you know, it's no joke here. We laugh about it, but it's like New Orleans might be playing from behind a lot, like the whole game. And it might be a serious position.
First quarter.
That they're going to have to start slinging the ball, which, you know, might have more gadgety stuff, which might also make Taysom Hill interesting again this week. He's always hard to, I mean, you can never guess him. He's the weirdest one, not to turn this into Taysom Hill, but, like, you know, he's like the sixth highest scoring tight end in half PPR this year. And what has he had? Like,
based
four
off like
games?
4 games?
Yeah, like four games that have been productive. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy talk. Misleading,
one, two,
too.
Three. He has 4 double digit scores and then 3 more of 7 points.
I mean, it's so misleading.
But he's got 0.6, 3, 2.5, 1.4. It's
like that's tight end. The experiment would be like, look at the top tight end. We're not going to do it here. And like, no one has less, like, under 2 point scoring games than Taysom Hill. Like, he's just volatile. But the whole point is like, they might have to get more tricky, involve him a little bit more and sling that ball. And Shaheed, you're right. He's made plays. He's just been making plays. Mine this week, my start in just proving that, because I don't think he's been super sexy. This is going with your Brock Purdy pick. I'm going with Brandon Ayuk. I do think Ayuk could be a guy if you have decent wide receivers, people could put on the chopping block just overall, just because George Kittle has been kind of the main beneficiary. But as I said, the targets have been moving up for Brandon Ayuk. This is a great spot. PFF's cornerback wide receiver matchup rater. He has the number one rating this week as far as great cornerback matchup for Brandon Ayuk. And they're probably going to be getting him the ball even more. Like I said, it's upticked 3 straight weeks, and I'm really, really hoping we can get close to 10. So I just want to reiterate that I think he's an absolute must-start this week. Your only worry would be if the Niners pull off one of those, like, defensive touchdown, rushing touchdown, you know, block punt, special teams touchdown, and then no longer pass or anything like that if they're up on the Raiders.
Brock
Purdy
to George
that.
Kittle. And then you get
Or Kittle. Yeah, Kittle's been the problem, that type of stuff. My dart throw isn't the craziest dart. He's a guy that sits in the wide receiver 3 range. Jake's is a way better dart throw. But I'm throwing back out DJ Chark. DJ Chark is a great matchup here. Over 90 yards in 3 of his last 4 games. He has a dud in there against the Jets. Did you have him top 30? Yeah, I think his ECR was like 35 or 36 this week. And yeah, this
we
is
talk about that anymore.
The what's
speaking
that?
Of things you can't see, speaking of things you can't see anymore, because it's still like use widget stuff and for if I was still doing something, I think you can catch the hint there.
Yeah,
I actually 14th, 11th, and 12th the last 3 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? All right. If we were still doing that something, that's pretty good. All right. Well, just
not no ghost, but I don't see a top 10 in there. I was like, screw you, dude. Yeah, it's actually like off. Number like one for the past 3 weeks.
Of course, Nando would poke you. Nando knows right the way to poke you. You're like, hey, it's like top, 12, like three straight weeks or whatever. Where's the top 10? I don't see that. But yeah, DJ Chark, listen to Jake in here. He's getting the targets, 90 yards plus, three of the last four games. He only has one touchdown in there. Jared Goff has been absolutely slinging the ball left and right. And this is just a good opportunity up against the Bears, who are going to give that up. So
sorry, I almost put Jared Goff as my quarterback, but I felt like I did that too many times this year, so that's why I went.
I think it might also be obvious. I think it kind of might be obvious.
That's what I think it is. It's like because I was afraid of him. I had him like 17th last week, and still finished like 12th. Like this, like I was sent outdoors, and the Panthers defense had been playing well. Like they had been. Not scary, but they've been playing good enough that it's like Jared, and he went bananas last week. And now you're talking about back at home indoors where he averages 2.5 touchdowns per game. Like Jared Goff isn't good. It's going to be my DFS lineup. I'm going to hate myself. I'm either winning all the money or none of the money. There's no in between Jared Goff. Like I'm not going to be like breaking even with Jared Goff. It's either like I came out big or I'm going to be like, screw you, dude. I'm never using it again.
Well, probably one of those plays. If you're going to put Jared Goff in a DFS lineup, DJ Chark is probably one of the pairings. Yeah. You're going to have Chark in there as a pairing. Last two things here. I'm going to play along with the tight end one, but let's just get you on. What's got you thinking twice for this final championship week? Is there anything to really think hard on in twice?
Thinking the logic behind somebody who just, I guess, is set with mediocrity for his entire coaching career. Congratulations, Ron Rivera. Your mediocrity is, again, Carson Wentz back at quarterback, really? And no, for everybody out there, I'm not be like, oh my God, Taylor Heineke is the best quarterback ever. Like, no, he's Carson Wentz. He's not better. I wrote an article this offseason when they signed Wentz and said, like, they are essentially the same quarterback. Matt Ryan wasn't an upgrade. Carson Wentz wasn't an upgrade. Taylor Heineke, it's like, they're all the same. The difference is that Heineke at least lit some fire in this team. He had that, it's like, the excitement that he brought for this team. It's like, they were a winning playoff team with him. They were 2-4 with Carson Wentz. And I'm not saying that all to be like the Heineke versus Wentz. Like, even Barkley's upset about this. I'm not even saying that. Yeah, I'm not even saying that for that purposes. I'm saying this, but if you look at Carson Wentz, the one he targeted the most was Curtis Samuel. He didn't like throwing to Terry McLaurin. He threw to Dotson, and it can be messy, and it's not a good matchup in the passing. Like, the Cleveland Browns' run defense is trash, and it's kind of similar to the Titans' pass defense, making their run defense. So the run defense for the Titans is good, but it looks great because you just pass all over them. Cleveland Browns' run defense is so trash that it makes their pass defense look great, but it's still a good pass defense. I'm worried about Carson Wentz, Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, Jahan Dotson. Like, I don't know who Wentz might go to in this game, and I don't know who you can trust. And I was all over Dotson for how many weeks now? So I don't know that you can even trust any of them this week.
Yeah, well, especially coming off of, like, I think it was like three or four straight games with a touchdown with Jahan Dotson. It's pretty brutal. It is definitely pretty brutal. Finally, how tight can you make your ends? And I will kick us off here. I'm going to go with our guy, Okonkwo. Mainly the reason behind it, by the way, is because pretty much everybody is inactive for that team, and they will have to pass the ball in some respect. There's no Derrick Henry. The team is going to have to pivot. I think it is a safety net situation that's needed with Malik Willis, and I think Okonkwo is that. He did not get it against Houston this past week, only two targets, but the previous four games, he had at least five targets, three of them, 6-1. And his catch rate has been phenomenal. He got a touchdown in there. This is a bad matchup against Dallas. But again, my point is this team is going to have to pivot on what their offense is going to be. And if I was in a desperate situation at tight end, I actually think Okonkwo is one of those guys who's going to be like a floor back end tight end one, even though he's not ranked in that relative territory. But I would acknowledge there's probably better tight ends out there. Maybe you want to go, shoot for this guy with a Taysom Hill, or obviously, Juwan Johnson has been awesome. He's ranked lower, but I'm saying the lowest you
can go. I'll even give you one. I don't normally give you one, but I'll even get, now that White is back at quarterback, Conklin's back to being relevant too.
That's a good point. That's a really, actually, it's a sneaky one that might be sitting out there, especially if you're in tight end purgatory or something like that.
And, yeah, too bad that we have the Falcons going against the Cardinals. So there's like, well, this would, you imagine if Kyle Pitts was healthy and they're like, he didn't do anything until this very week of the season.
This would be it. Championship week. This is why we got Kyle Pitts for Kyle Arizona. Pitts. And nope. It's going to be an amazing ride this week. Last week had so many disappointments, fantasy disappointments that, production just completely gone. You've got a couple preset ones, so you don't have to be disappointed by actual production. Derrick Henry not playing is disappointing, but it's not like he's going to go out and get lifted. We'll obviously see what is in store for
wow.
that. What do you have?
You might want to come off. You want to rethink your Unconquo? We actually got breaking news while we're doing the show for a change.
Oh, no.
It's not even Malik Willis. They're going to Josh Dobbs.
What?
Yes.
Really?
Really.
All right. Well, you know what? How about the tightest end I'm going to go is Darren Waller.
You're going to stick with top stick with Stidham?
exactly, with Stidham. There's seven tight ends I'll start. I'm not going tight. Is that for real news?
That's for real news, officially, just as we were finishing the show.
Wow. Well, yeah, that, you know what? Jake is not joking. First time maybe ever we've gotten some type of breaking news. Not that it's like groundbreaking, but some type of breaking news while we're doing the show and not 3 minutes after we hit stop, which is typically what happens. So if you want all the latest adjustments, like Dobbs being the new quarterback and whatever else week 17 has in store for you, make sure you're locked in with The Athletic and make sure you're locked in with Jake so you can check out his article. All the ranks, they move all the way up until game time. He's answering questions. So it is one of the more valuable pieces in fantasy that you can find. And Athletic has got their 12 months for a dollar deal going on again. So
no,
make sure you
go like
and lock
two
it
for
up.
Now or 50% off or something like that.
Oh, really?
Like
I just saw like an ad for it.
They keep mixing it up. There's an offer out there somewhere.
Yeah, just go look around and get that offer and get locked in so you guys are set for this week. And that is all that we have for you. Follow him on Twitter at AllInKid. You can find myself at IsItTheWelsh. And on Monday, we'll be back breaking down championship week, and we will still prepare you for week 18. I got Brandon on Monday, Jake on Thursday. For my boys, we are out of here, right here on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hey, hey. Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.